You're tuned to KBOO Portland, and this is the Gilbert and Sullivan Father's Day special. I'm Julie, and we're listening to the overture from HMS Pinafore. I'm planning to play selections from four Gilbert and Sullivan shows this hour. HMS Pinafore is the first one, and if you don't know the plot, briefly, the Captain Corcoran and his gallant crew are aboard the HMS Pinafore, and Captain Corcoran's daughter is engaged to be married to Sir Joseph Porter, but she really loves a man below her station. She's in love with a sailor. And her father gets a little upset, and he says a dirty word. It's actually the most controversial of its time in Victorian England of Gilbert and Sullivan's plays. So I hope you enjoy it. And this is the Gilbert and Sullivan Father's Day special.
Exceedingly polite, and it is only right to return the compliment.
Beg
never your abuse. I never, never use, whatever the emergency. The problem is I may occasionally say, I never use a thing, thing, thing.
What's never?
No, never.
What's never?
Hardly ever.
Hardly ever such a thing, thing, thing.
Never mind the why and wherefore, love the level ranks, and therefore though his lordship stays, mighty those who can this be displayed. Though her tastes are mean and tidy, and her fortune poor and lame,
he wouldn't try every thousand lordship play there before they plan for the union of his lordship with a humble captain's child.
Humble captain's daughter.
For a gallant captain's daughter.
And a lord who rules the water.
And a top who knows the quarter.
Yes, there was joy, my lady, with the songs we air above. For the union of the maiden with a man who loves her love.
Never mind the pile, wherefore love can level ranks and there, but though your nautical relation in my set could scarcely pass, though you occupy a station in the lower middle class.
For a gallant captain's daughter.
And a lord who rules the water.
And a top who loves the water.
Yes, there was joy, you made a friend, the songs we ever found. For the union of the middle, we're the men who loves the
ground. Never mind the why and wherefore, love can never accept. Therefore, I and he, the jurisdiction, if he had to pay to part. You have married them.
Delight at the happy result of your eloquence. Your argument was unanswerable.
Captain Corcoran, it is one of the happiest characteristics of this glorious country that official utterances are invariably regarded as unanswerable.
At last, my fond hopes are to be crowned. My only daughter is to be the bride of a cabinet minister. The prospect is Elysian.
Deadeye, you here?
Don't.
Oh, don't shrink from me, Captain. I'm unpleasant to look at, and my name's agin me. But I ain't as bad as I seem.
What would you with me?
I've come to give you warning.
Indeed. Do you propose to leave the Navy, then?
No, no. You misunderstand me. Listen.
Yes, it is a very exalted one. This is Julie and Christopher, and we're here with the Gilbert and Sullivan Father's Day special, which we really hope you're enjoying. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Julie, how are you?
Oh, no. Is your mic not on? Is that your mic?
Is that it?
Try it again. Uh-oh. Maybe. Okay, try it now.
Is that good?
Oh, that's good.
There it is.
Okay. There's the microphone. So I'm very excited that my cousin Christopher could join me on the air for the Gilbert and Sullivan Father's Day special, because we both have this very intimate relationship with Gilbert and Sullivan.
We do. That's right. We kind of grew up with it.
Yeah.
for better or worse, I guess, right?
Indeed. Yes, and this show is dedicated to my dad because he used to play Gilbert and Sullivan in the car on the way to school for as long as I can remember. I mean, I think when I was little, when I was really little, I thought that they were cartoons, and I wanted to hear the cartoon singing, but really it was just Gilbert and Sullivan.
Sort of a reluctant relationship with you know, Gilbert and Sullivan in the car, and mm-hmm. then on the stage. And
that's right. HMS Pinafore was the first show that I was in when I was 11 years old. I was a sister, cousin, or aunt of Sir Joseph, and Christopher had to come to a lot of those rehearsals.
I did. Thanks, Chris. Gruelingly long rehearsal.
And so we should tell you a little bit about the play. I hope you enjoyed that one. I love that the best thing that this guy they can find to say about this guy who's below her station, she's marrying below her station, the best thing they can say about him is he's an Englishman. He is an Englishman.
Right.
So just as the people in the play you're going to hear next are The Pirate King is the first song from Pirates of Penzance, which is possibly Gilbert and Sullivan's most famous work. They produced a whole volume of plays, even though they hated each other. But Pirates of Penzance is a good one.
There it is. Interesting relationships.
Better far to live and die under the brave black flag I fly than play a sanctimonious part with a pirate head and a pirate heart. Away to the cheating world go you, where pirates all are well to do, but I'll be true to the song I sing and live and die a pirate king. For I am a pirate king, and it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king, for I am a pirate king. And it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king.
It is to love the pirate king, to love the pirate king.
When I sally forth to seek my prey, I help myself in a royal way. I sink a few more ships, it's true, than a well-bred monarch ought to do. But many a king on a first-class throne, if he wants to call his crown his own, must manage somehow to get through more a dirty work than ever I do. For I am a pirate king, and it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king, for I am a pirate king. And it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king.
It is for love the pirate king, for love the pirate king.
Oh, take me with you. I cannot live if I am left behind.
Ruth, I will be quite candid with you. You are very dear to me, as you know, but I must be circumspect. You see, you are considerably older than I. A lad of 21 usually looks for a wife of 17.
Difficulties are preventing the continuation of...
We are working on the problem.
Are you putting me on now?
Okay.
Oh,
sorry about the technical difficulties there. If you're Gilbert and Sullivan fans, and even if you're not, you might know this one.
I am the very model of a modern major general. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England and Dakota fights historical, from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. I am very well acquainted too with matters mathematical. I understand equations both simple and quadratical. About polynomial theorem, I am teeming with a lot of news. With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. I am very good at integral and differential calculus. I know the scientific names of beings and animalculus. In short, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general. I know our mythic history, King Arthur's and Sir Caradox. The answer hard acrostics have a pretty taste for paradox. In court, in elegiacs, all the crimes of Helicabalus. In cornix, I can floor peculiarities parabolas. I can tell undoubted Raphael's from Gerardus and Sophonies. I know the croaking chorus from the frogs of Aristophanes. And I can hum a fugue of which you've heard the music's dinner for.
Dinner for.
And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore. Then I can write a Washington in Babylonic uniform and tell you every detail of Caractacus's uniform. In short, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general. In fact, when I know what is meant by mammalian and ravelin, when I can tell at sight a mouse a rifle from a javelin, when such a phase of sort is unsurprises, I'm more wary at, and when I know precisely what is meant by commissariat, when I have learned that progress has been made in modern gunnery, when I know more of tactics than a novice in a nunnery, in short, I have a smattering of elemental strategy. I have it. You'll say a better major general and never strategy. You'll say a better major general and never strategy. You'll say a better major general and never strategy. You'll say a better major general and never strategy. You'll say a better major general and never strategy. For my military knowledge, though I am plucky and adventurous, has only been but down to the beginning of the century. But still, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general. Now that I have introduced myself, I should like to have some idea of what's going on.
Oh, Papa.
Permit me. I'll explain in two words. We propose to marry your daughters.
Dear me.
Against our wills, Papa. Against our wills.
Oh, but you mustn't do that.
You mustn't do that.
Sorry.
Stop it.
Excuse me.
I'd like to welcome Andy Sabatier to the show. Andy Sabatier, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is the Gilbert and Sullivan Father's Day special. As you know, you're listening to KBOO Portland. And Andy also had to go to a lot of these shows.
Many. At least five or six every single year.
You were in most of them.
No, I was in one of them, but it was glorious.
Well, it wasn't Pirates of Penzance, but I think that was one of your favorites, wasn't it?
It absolutely was, to be honest. They all run together. They all smell like a diesel Mercedes to me.
Yes, that is true. What Gilbert and Sullivan smells like, everybody.
It's actually just Gilbert.
It sounds like better that. Than it smells.
It's Sullivan, true. It smells
that's
like
right.
Cinnamon.
So we've been listening to selections from the Pirates of Penzance, and that was, of course, the Major General himself, the very model of a modern Major General.
That's right.
Yes. And now we're going to hear some cuts from a little-known play, if you're a Gilbert and Sullivan fan, or even if you're not. It's called Iolanthe. And there's an alternate name for it in that book, isn't there?
I believe there is, but I don't know if I know what it is.
All right. So. Well, I think it's right on that page that you're looking at, but that's okay.
Is it really the Pier and the Perry?
That's right.
Is that right?
And the Perry.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because
now,
the Piers all marry the fairies in this play.
Okay.
This is the only show where the women's chorus opens the show. Every single Gilbert and Sullivan show, it's the men's chorus that opens the show, except for this one.
There is another interesting piece of trivia about this
Andy?
This, I suppose it's a musical. Well, some of you on the East Coast may know, and you turned me off, didn't you?
I'm going to turn you off.
Well, my sister really, she's too humble. She really is the cover girl for this play and made it famous in the Baltimore greater metropolitan area. So it's wonderful.
Yes, when my hair was very long, my picture was taken, and I was 12, and someone thought I looked fairy-like and that I would be a good poster child for this play.
Well, perhaps we should hear it.
Okay, let's listen.
All right.
They were.
Iolanthe was the life and soul of Fairyland. Why, she wrote all our songs and arranged all our dances. We sing her songs and we trip her measures, but we don't enjoy ourselves.
To think that 25 years have elapsed since she was banished. What could she have done to deserve so terrible a punishment?
Something awful. She married a mortal.
Oh, Is it injudicious to marry a mortal?
Injudicious? It strikes at the root of the whole fairy system. By our laws, the fairy who marries a mortal dies.
But Iolanthe didn't die.
No, because your queen, who loved her with a surpassing love, commuted her sentence to penal servitude for life on condition that she left her husband and never communicated with him again.
That sentence of penal servitude she is now working out on her head, at the bottom of that stream.
Yes, but when I banished her, I gave her all the pleasant places of the earth to dwell in. I'm sure I never intended that she should go and live at the bottom of a stream. It makes me perfectly wretched to think of the discomfort she must have undergone.
Think of the damp! And her chest was always delicate.
And the frogs! I never shall enjoy any peace of mind until I know why Iolanthe went to live among the frogs.
Then why not summon her and ask her?
Why? Because if I set eyes on her, I should forgive her at once.
Then why not forgive her? 25 years, it's a long time.
Think how we loved her.
Loved her? What was your love to mine? Why, she was invaluable to me. Who taught me to curl myself inside a buttercup? Iolanthe. Who taught me to swing upon a cobweb? Iolanthe. Who taught me to dive into a dewdrop? To nestle in a nutshell? To gamble upon gossamer? Iolanthe.
She certainly did surprising things.
Oh, give her back to us, great queen. For your sake, if not for ours.
Oh, I should be strong. But I am weak. I should be marble. But I am clay. Her punishment has been heavier than I intended. I did not mean that she should live among the frogs. And well... well, it shall be as you wish. It shall be as you wish.
On sentry go to chase monotony. He exercises all his brains, that is, assuming that he's got any. Though never nurtured in the lap of luxury, yet I admonish you, I am an intellectual chap, and think of things that would astonish you. I often think it's comical, fa-la-la, fa-la-la, how nature always does contrive, fa-la-la. Either a little liberal or else a little conservative. Fa-la-la, fa-la-la, is either a little liberal.
if they've a brain and a cerebellum too. They've got to leave that brain outside and vote just as their leaders tell them to. But then the prospect of a lot of dull MPs in close proximity, all thinking for themselves, is what no man can face with equanimity. Then let's rejoice with a loud fa-la-la, 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 that nature always does contrive, fa-la-la. That every boy and every girl that's born into the world alive is either a little liberal or else a little conservative. Fa-la-la, fa-la-la, is either a little liberal or else a little conservative.
sure to win. Yours will be the charming maiden, me alone, the angel soul. Fate has never won her name.
Never, 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 fate has never won her name. Every judgment has an end, when at the worst of theirs will mend. Dark the dawn when day is nigh, hustle your horse and don't say die.
He who shies at such a prize is not worth a man of lady. Be so kind to bear in mind, fate hath never won their lady.
Never, 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 fate hath never won their lady. While the sun shines, make your hay. Where a will is, there's a way. Near the lion in his lair, none but the brave deserve the fair.
I'll take heart and make a start, though I fear the prospect chain. Much I'd spend to gain my end, fate hath never won fair lady.
Never, 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 fate hath never won fair lady. Nothing venture, nothing win, blood is thick but water's thin. If for a penny, if for a pound, it's love that makes the world go round. Nothing venture, nothing win, blood is thick but water's thin. If for a penny, if for a pound, it's love that makes the world go round.
I suppose one ought to enjoy oneself in Parliament when one needs both parties, as I do. But I'm miserable, poor, broken-hearted fool that I am. Oh, Phyllis, Phyllis.
Yes?
Phyllis. But I suppose I should say my lady. I have not yet been informed which title your ladyship has pleased to select.
I haven't quite decided. You see, I have no mother to advise me.
No, I have.
Yes, a young mother.
Not very, a couple of centuries or so.
Oh, she wears well.
She does. She's a fairy.
I beg your pardon, a what?
Oh, I've no longer any reason to conceal the fact. She's a fairy.
A fairy? Well, but that would account for a good many things. Then I suppose you're a fairy.
I'm half a fairy.
Which half?
The upper half, down to the waistcoat.
Dear me, there's nothing to show it.
Don't do that.
But why didn't you tell me this before?
I thought you might take a dislike to me. But as it's all off, you may as well know the truth. I'm only half a mortal.
But I'd rather have half a mortal I do love than half a dozen I don't.
Oh, I think not. Go to your half dozen.
It's only two, and I hate them. Please forgive me.
I don't think I ought to. Besides, all sorts of difficulties will arise. You know, my grandmother looks quite as young as my mother. So do all my aunts.
I quite understand. Whenever I see you kissing a very young lady, I shall know it's an elderly relative.
You will? Then, Phyllis, I think we shall be very happy.
We won't wait long.
No, we might change our minds. We'll get married first.
And change our minds afterwards?
That's the usual course.
Yes, that is the usual course, I think, isn't it? Hey, guys.
Hey.
So I hope you're all enjoying the Gilbert and Sullivan Father's Day special. Thanks for putting up with this. This is fun.
No, you're welcome. This is great stuff. You don't usually listen to it, you know?
It's true. I don't usually. Well, I have for the last couple of weeks been listening to it, revisiting it.
I love it.
Oh, I'm glad. Is this your first time listening to Gilbert and Sullivan?
I mean, I heard some at school, but not. I haven't really sat down and listened to it.
It's Jamie Lee Currier.
Hello.
And this is her Gilbert and Sullivan introduction in a way.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a good one.
Well, that was my favorite, Iolanthe. I had a great time in that show. It was fun to be a fairy. I was a little ladybug fairy, and I had these little ladybug wings. And
I can totally see you as a fairy.
I was like a red and yellow blob.
Was Andy in that one, too?
No, Andy wasn't in that one.
Okay.
No. He was not even half a fairy.
That's right.
Yes.
Was
there
he
were
a twinkle
lots of,
in someone's eye at that point?
He was a bug.
No, he was around.
Okay.
He's only 2 years younger than me.
Right.
So now we're gonna wrap up the show, I guess, with some cuts from The Mikado, which is,
oh, yes.
If you ever saw that movie that was based on Gilbert and Sullivan, whose name escapes you, Topsy Turvy, that was it.
Yes. Are you gonna play the Three Little Beats?
No, you're just gonna have to sing that one.
There you go. Come on, keep going. We're listening.
No, this is great because the first song that I'm gonna play, the part of the plot of The Mikado is this ridiculous thing where the Mikado is he's the emperor of Japan. He's coming to town, and there's this executioner who has been deemed he's Lord High Executioner, but he's never cut off anyone's head. And so he thinks that the Mikado is going to be pissed at him when he finds out that he hasn't been doing his job. And so he's got to find somebody to behead, and he doesn't find anyone.
Why is it so important that he behead someone?
Well,
to
that's
be, like,
his job.
As the Mikado.
I don't know.
Okay,
he's
okay.
A Lord High Executioner. What other reason does he have for being around?
I'm sorry, I missed
a
that
macho
part.
Thing.
It's Gilbert and Sullivan. You can't
that's
ask
right.
too many questions.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
But the thing is that they don't behead anyone. That they make up this story. There's three good people that make up this story where they tell this whole long lie to the Mikado, but the Mikado knows that they haven't actually executed anyone. So they're putting on this big production, and it's pretty terrific. There's going to be a song that the Mikado sings as well about how the punishment should fit the crime, which was one of my dad's very favorite Gilbert
Good
and
stuff.
Sullivan songs. So without further ado.
The criminal cried as he dropped him down in a state of wild alarm. With a frightful, frantic, fearful frown, I bared my big right arm. I seized him by his little pigtail, and on his knees fell he. As he squirmed and struggled and gurgled and guggled, I drew my snicker-snee. Oh, never shall I forget the cry or the shriek that shrieked me, as I gnashed my teeth when from its sheath I drew my snicker-snee.
As he gave the sign for the stroke he didn't deserve, when all of a sudden his eye met mine, and it seemed to brace his nerve. For he nodded his head and kissed his hand, and he whistled and melted me. As the sable crew cut cleanly through his summer vertebrae, his vertebrae. When a man's afraid, a beautiful maid is a cheering sight to see. And it's so I'm glad that moment sad was soothed by sight of me.
A terrible day, you want to send me to this wild and free. A day's exact for all the facts, a month's so hard disease.
Now though you'd have said that pain was dead, for it's all the dead was he. It stood on its neck with a smile well bred, and bowed three times to me. It was none of your impudent off and not, but as humble as could be. For it clearly knew the deference due to a man of pedigree. Of pedigree. And it's all I vow, this deathly vow was a touching sight to see. Though troutless yet, it couldn't forget the deference due to me.
This haughty youth, he sees the truth whenever he finds it face. And in this case, it all took place exactly as he says.
Exactly, 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 exactly.
If I marry you, when your time has come to perish, then there'll be no use.
you cherish must be slaughtered too. Here's the hoity-doo, here's the hoity-doo.
Here's a pretty mess, in a month or less. I must die without a wedding, let the bitter tears I'm shedding witness my distress. Here's a pretty mess, here's a pretty mess.
Here's a state of things, to her life she clings. Matrimonial devotion doesn't seem to suit her notion, burial it brings. Here's a state of things, here's a state of things.
With the passion that she takes, I worship and adore. But the laws of golden century ought to ignore. If what she says is true, 'tis death to marry you. Here's a pretty state of things, here's a pretty howdy-do. Here's a pretty state of things, a pretty state of things.
Here's a
howdy-do, here's a howdy-do.
Here's a pretty howdy-do.
Emma, you made me card or never did in Japan exist. To nobody's second, I'd certainly reckoned a true philanthropist. It is my very humane endeavor to make to some extent each evil liver a running river of harmless merriment. My object on sublime I shall achieve in time, to let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime, and make its prisoner pant, unwillingly represent a source of innocent merriment, of innocent merriment. Oh, grossy, dull society, sinners who chatter and bleat and bore, are sent to hear sermons from mystical Germans who preach from 10 till 4. The amateur tenor whose vocal villainies all desire to shirk shall during off hours exhibit his powers to Madame Tussaud's waxwork. The lady who dyes a chemical yellow or stains her grey hair blue, her skin shall be tinted and thereon imprinted a suitably wrought tattoo. The idiot who in railway carriages scribbles on window panes, we only suffer to ride on a buffer in the parliamentary trains. Ha! My object all sublime I shall achieve in time, to let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime, and make its prisoner pant, unwillingly represent a source of innocent merriment, of innocent merriment. Advertising quack who wearies with tales of countless cures, his teeth I've enacted shall all be extracted by terrified amateurs. The musical singer attends a series of masses and fugues and ops, by Bach interwoven with Spohr and Beethoven at classical Monday pops. The billiard sharp whom anyone catches, his doom's extremely hard. He's made to dwell in a dungeon cell on a slot that's always barred, and there he plays extravagant matches in fitless finger stalls, on a cloth untrue with a twisted cue and elliptical billiard balls. My object all sublime I shall achieve in time, to let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime, and make its prisoner pant, unwillingly represent a source of innocent merriment, of innocent merriment.